We're continuing the conversation here at the NRA annual meeting in Atlanta, Georgia. Very pleased to have with us NRA board member Amanda Suffercool. And, you know, media personality in her own right.
A little bit of a lot of things right now. I swear.
So it's early on Friday morning. The meeting has just gotten started. I would ask how things are going, but hopefully haven't had a chance to start going badly. They've had to go well.
No. It's going. So the Voices row is so exciting and it's brand new. And I hooked up my very first interview this morning at 8:30, right before the show started, with the intent to get that and let that guy go. He was a West Coaster. Poor guy got mixed up and made it a 7:30 call for himself. So he's here an hour early saying, where am I? And so I'm running like a crazy person, right? So it started a little quick,
hectic.
But it's all settled and it's all good now. Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, so we were just talking with Pete Brownell a couple of minutes ago. One of the things I asked him about was the NRA's turnaround. Mm-hmm. You know, we just saw board elections, and again, I'm not going to get into the labels, but it looks to me like the reformers had a good election cycle.
Yeah, it kind of looked like it was a 66-33% mix on whether they were change agents or the historic NRA board members. I mean, because I have to, I sit with them on a daily basis or a weekly, you know, whatever. And the thing to remember, no matter whether you fundamentally agree with Pete with them all or not, they're on the board because they've got skills, they've got a history, they care about the Second Amendment, and they're fighting for what they believe is right, whichever group they are, whatever they're doing. And so there's, you need to work with everybody, and the name calling part, we'll skip that. And let's just talk about how do we all, the NRA survived for 154 years before us. It's our watch now. How do we make sure it survives another 154 years? That's the challenge. That's our mission.
So, I mean, let me just ask you bluntly, how concerned are you about the NRA survival? Let's say not over the next 154 years, but over the next 4 to 5 years.
So the NRA will survive. We'll start with that. It will survive. The thing is will it get a jump start and be strong immediately, or will it just slowly crawl out of the hole? That's really where I think that it is. You know, I've done a lot of stuff in my career, non-gun career, in doing corporate turnarounds. And so what happens when a company goes into distress? And when you take the lawsuits and you tie that to COVID and you tie that to, you know, all of the stuff that happened. And so it was like a trifecta of things that hit the NRA. Now what you've got to do is make sure that you're taking care of the employees, because it may be board politics and it may be people outside talking about, I'm a member and my voice counts. Yes, it does. But there's also these employees who, they have jobs, they have lives, they have families, they have mortgages that are all dependent on the NRA. And we need to make sure that they are confident that they're going to have a job tomorrow and the day after that, and that we're growing and doing and challenging and not placing blame and giving them the tools that they need to be tremendously successful.
You know, this is historically when you've got a Republican president, I think gun owners breathe a sigh of relief, mm-hmm. right? And in one respect, it makes it a little bit more challenging for the NRA right now, right? Because there is not this imminent threat looming if we had a President Kamala Harris, at least at the national level. Now, I would say at the state level, I mean, I live in Virginia. We have an imminent threat looming. We have a governor's race this year. And we've got a Democrat candidate who is marching in lockstep in Moms Demand Action, who says she'll sign basically every gun control bill that gets to her desk. And Governor Youngkin vetoed over 24 gun control bills this year. So, you know, we're looking at Virginia becoming East California, South Massachusetts, right? If Abigail Spammer becomes governor. So I feel this sense of urgency.
Right.
But do you think gun owners across the country are feeling that sense of urgency?
No, I was in a meeting the other day, and they were talking about the fact that people get a call to action when they're fearful. And so the states that are really under attack, they're going to be extremely involved. And the states that call themselves free America, if you will,
right,
they're like, oh, well, you know, we've got a little time to lounge around the pool and be relaxed. And it's like, no, here's I guess the call to action is if you live in a state that is comfortable and your governor is pro-Second Amendment and the president, as we know, is pro-Second Amendment, think about your friends, think about the other states and be supportive of them so that that does not come to your border.
Yeah.
So keep it away from your border by helping fight the fight. But it really is bad news motivates, good news makes everybody yawn.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, last question for you. It's kind of a curveball, but, you know, we may be feeling a sense of relief as gun owners with President Trump in office. There are a lot of folks on the left who are flipping out over President Trump being in office, and some of them have embraced their Second Amendment rights.
Right.
So let me ask you, man, from a 2A perspective, right? I mean, I think you and I probably both consider ourselves to be conservative politically.
Right.
But from a 2A perspective, are you happy to see some folks on the left become gun owners? Do you hope that they will become Second Amendment advocates? Is there a role within the NRA to turn some of those new liberal gun owners into Second Amendment advocates?
It should be. So the thing is that the Second Amendment should not be a partisan issue. The Democrat Party made it a partisan issue by putting it as part of their platform that we are anti-gun. So what I want to do is I want to ask the liberal gun owners. I mean, there's a liberal gun club of America. Yep. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of people who are involved in those groups. But and we don't talk politics and we talk guns, right? There's a thing where something starts down in politics and I'm like, oh, look at that. The sky is beautiful right now, because it's like if I get into the conversation of politics, you'll probably not still be my friend. So let's talk about the issue at hand. And the issue really is the Second Amendment. And I want to urge them to fight with their party to change their platform so the Second Amendment is taken off the table. And then we can all enjoy that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to say, I mean, I think, you know, as you say, you have these conversations, you don't talk politics. But, you know, I've always seen the Second Amendment movement as maybe the last big tent movement in the country. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a way, to some degree, to find common ground in a time when we really do need to find some common ground, right? Well, if you can talk to a liberal gun owner about their latest purchase or what range they go to, what's their next gun, self-defense,
self-defense,
right?
Is a human right.
Absolutely.
And when you run into somebody who does not agree with you fundamentally and you start with that, mm-hmm. they go, oh, yeah, it is. And that, I found that sentence that I've stolen from Massachusetts and the Gun Owners.
Gun Owners Actually.
Gun Owners Actually.
Took it from me, by the way. Okay. Sir.
So let's attribute it back to the original author. Okay, so I've stolen it twice removed from Cam. But it opens a lot of conversations and it opens a lot of doors. Because then it's like, oh, she's somewhat reasonable. Let's talk about that. And we go down that path. And I slow down when I'm talking to them. I slow down, so I'm trying very hard not to dump rhetoric and my rights and all that. It's think about it if it were your children or your wife or your family. I mean, we only live in this world so we can have a family, so we can enjoy our community. So we have all of those things. Let's talk about those and let's talk about how you can do that safely and comfortably. And that's what I use as the opening.
There you go. Amanda Savakul, as always, it is a real pleasure to get a chance to spend some time with you. Thank you so much for everything you do, not only for the NRA, but for the Second Amendment community. And I look forward to doing this again very soon.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.